Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with Richard Lawrence. He's been a leading speaker and broadcaster in Britain and other parts of the world on UFOs for at least 40-plus years. He's known in the United Kingdom as the UFO guru and has been at the forefront of campaigns for governments to release the truth and is the international best-selling author of UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message. Richard is the Executive Secretary of the Aetherius Society for Europe and Africa, which is the oldest UFO contacts organization in Britain, possibly the world. Richard, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
George, very nice to speak to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Everything's great. I'm amazed at all this UFO information that is coming out these days. How about you?
Well, you have been pioneering this, and I must say I have too, for decades. And, you know, we went through ridicule. We went through all the usual nonsense. You know, and now I don't think, I don't want people who don't believe in UFOs to be treated like we were, namely ridiculed and spurned. But it's going the other way, I think.
It is. Pilots are still frustrated, I think, in this country. The military pilots, of course. I don't think they think they're getting recognized the way they should by government. What do you hear about that?
Well, I'm sure they aren't. You know, I mean, although it's far better than it's ever been, it's not nearly good enough. But I will say this, America is streets ahead of Britain. You know, Britain is pathetic at the moment on this issue. It's not just America. I mean, China, and now we hear China is onto it and Russia is onto it. France, I think, has been onto it for some while. Britain make pathetic remarks in our parliament, just sort of still sitting on the fence. They're not against it anymore. They don't say it's not true. They just say, well, we don't know anything, and you know, which I don't believe at all. But obviously pilots, military personnel, although they've got more of a listen than they've ever had before, and it's being looked at, let's not run away with the idea it's all sorted or that they're being respected as they should be or that we're being told the whole truth yet.
Here in the United States, several months ago, we had a congressional quick hearing. Now NASA wants to get involved, Richard, and investigate this. So things are happening here in the United States.
Yes. I mean, I think the big thing now, and even when you hear the sort of the likes of Luis Elizondo and over here we have Nick Pope. I mean, Nick Pope, I'm sure he's been on.
Oh, love
with
the
you,
guy.
George.
Dear friend.
I mean, I spoke to Nick on his first day in his job in the Ministry of Defense. And I asked him one question. I said, because I was in touch with the UFO department there before he went in there. And I said, do you believe in UFOs? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you will. And look at him now. It's his whole career. It's his
whole life.
But even people like he and Lewis they are still looking at the possibility that UFOs are hostile, that we should be preparing for a possible invasion and this type of thing. And this is where I think the Aetherius Society, I'm not saying only us, but I think we stand out because we've always said they're friendly. We've always said they're real. And we've always said they're extraterrestrial, or some of them are definitely extraterrestrial, but they are also, in our view, friendly. If they weren't, we wouldn't even be talking about it, George. It would all have been over a very long time ago.
I agree with you, Richard. If they were very, very benevolent and malevolent, they would have taken us out a long time ago.
Yeah, and I think there are people, I don't know exactly who, whether it be Marco Rubio or other senators, while doing a good job on trying to sort of remove the stigma, which is fantastic, are sort of warning of this and trying to build up, you know, military defense against them and so on, and other countries too. And, of course, that's always an excuse, isn't it, to the arms industry. But, I mean, with the technology they've got, I mean, look at some of the things which have come out in America, the ability to maneuver abruptly at incredible speed without any means of propulsion that we can see. Instantaneous acceleration, hypersonic velocities, low observability, positive lift, resisting Earth's gravity, control over atmospheric friction. I mean, I'm sure you've gone into all those things and more. Those things, with those capabilities, if they wanted to attack us, if they wanted to take over the world, they could easily have done it a very long time ago. And let's face it, this isn't new. I mean, the oldest documents on Earth, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and the Hindu Sanskrit text, and even earlier civilizations than that, were talking about extraterrestrials in spacecraft.
You submitted to us a picture that we have on our website, which is an amazing photograph or sketch of a UFO. It's amazing. Where'd that come from?
Is this the picture of a sort of gold object?
Yes, it looks like an upside down hat almost.
Yes, I know that very well because that was taken by somebody I knew. He's passed on now, and he wasn't trying to photograph a UFO. It's just one, I think, of many. It's completely genuine. We had the negative checked out by the, I think it was Kodak or whoever it was that that it came from at the time. Now, we're going back now to the very early 80s.
That's a long time for photography.
He took it out of his window. He didn't see a UFO. He's actually not taking UFO photographs, photographs of the night sky. There was no, by the way, no glass in the window. It was open. I've only got his word for this, but I believe him completely. I know him very well. I knew him very well. And it's out on the negative came this particular photo. And I think that shows also it's not unique in that regard. I mean, as I'm sure you've covered, the psychic photography is a very well-documented thing. Sometimes even with intelligent people, I mean, to come out on photographs, what you might call ghosts, sometimes appear on photographs where they weren't seen by the photographer. So this is an example of one of the great capabilities, I would say, of extraterrestrial spacecraft: invisibility, control over matter, and it can be picked up on a camera even if you can't physically see it when you're taking it.
It's wonderful. Now, you've been doing this for more than 40 years, Richard. What got you first started?
Spiritual. I mean, one of the things that marks us out is right from the beginning, way, way before my time, Dr. King linked UFOs with spirituality. And as I'm sure you know better than most people, George, that was really disliked by the UFO movement at
True.
One time.
True.
So where you get, some of the other contactees of the period, although they had metaphysical ideas like Adamski and so on, and Frank Strange's, but Dr. King always spelled out as absolutely key the spirit. This is what we call over here, I don't know if you have the phrase, the white elephant in the room. It's the sort of thing that everyone's walking around and ignoring when it's sitting right there in front of you, and that's the spiritual element. That's what drew me. I mean, I was into yoga and spiritual philosophy, and so the philosophy of these intelligences through books like The Nine Freedoms, The 12 Blessings, some of the transmissions that Dr. King received, they drew me, regardless of where they'd come from, by the way. If they'd come from somebody in the Himalayas or somewhere else, it would have still drawn me. And then I sort of found the whole UFO aspect to it. And that's just fantastic. Everything made sense to me, George. You know, once you look at life and other planets, once you can see, okay, the Star of Bethlehem, obviously not a star, clearly bringing an intelligence from another world to Earth. When you see the same in the Hindu script, you see the same in Buddhism. It's very unifying. You see that when the Ten Commandments were given, an intelligence came down in a so-called cloud, an illuminated cloud, to deliver them to Moses. You have this pattern which actually unifies all these so supposedly conflicting religions with something which is above religion, and that's spirituality. That's what drew me, George.
Well, and when you look at Genesis and put in extraterrestrials and UFOs for angels and fallen angels, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Richard?
It certainly does. And then we've got our dear friend Ezekiel.
That's right, you know, with his wheel.
What a fantastic contact that was.
It's amazing. It just truly is.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where do you think
there's nothing new?
Do you think they're coming from other planetary systems, or there are others who think they're coming from a multiverse, like through portals?
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, that's one thing that marked Dr. King out right from the beginning, and marks us out now, I think, in the UFO movement.
Let me say this, Richard, Dr. George King, so people won't think we're talking about the great Dr. Martin Luther King.
Of course, yes. I'll say Dr. George King each time, so I don't want to cause any confusion there. He was born in Britain, but he most of his mission, as it were, was done from America. He was based in California. But what again marks him out and marks the Aetherius Society out is our belief in life in this solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know people will jump and say, well, you can't have life on Mars, Venus, Jupiter, etc., etc. But actually, again, he was talking about the kind of life you've sort of referred to there, really, multidimensional existence. So although you and I can't live on Jupiter or Venus, higher life forms can, just as they do on this Earth. And I'm sure hundreds of thousands probably of people have had contacts with people from this Earth, people who physically died, who are here now, who we can't see unless we have really developed clairvoyance. And yet they are here in a multidimensional framework, same is true on the other planets in this solar system. So obviously, yes, I'm sure there is life out there, and I'm sure there is what you just referred to there, sort of multiverses and so on. The intelligence is most concerned with us are from this solar system, as you would expect.
There's no question about it. Where do you think we're going and headed with this? Brazil is interested. Well, I mean, there are other countries that could pass us up.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it's a fantastic psychology, if I can put it that way, that these intelligences have. I mean, they take us so far. They don't fill in all the dots. You know, they leave questions. And they do that, I'm sure, deliberately. And that's because I think they want us to look beyond the purely physical. They know that the motives of governments, even now, I mean, they're being really forced to come out and admit to various things. It's not really that they wanted to. They've been, I mean, I must say, Donald Trump did us a favor by putting that into legislation before he finished his term. But they are not answering everything everybody wants to know, but they're showing enough to make people realize they do exist. They have powers. I mean, our sort of most recent astronomer here, Tim Peake, he's called. Astronaut, not astronomer. He thinks it could be time travel. The first British astronomer, a woman called Helen Sharman, she thinks that aliens could be invisible. So these are concepts which astronauts and scientists are now wrestling with. They know there's only 4% of the matter of the universe that's actually visible and detectable. What about the 96%? They're looking at these things. They know that, you know, the amount of the electromagnetic spectrum that is visible, I think they say it's 1 inch for every 250,000 miles, something like that, because you've got all the, you know, I'm sure people know a lot more about, I'm not a scientist, these things than I do, but you know, you've got gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet radiation, infrared, microwave, radio waves. If you look at it all, well, it's a tiny fraction of the visible spectrum. So this is where science is moving, but there are unanswered questions, and I think they're looking for us to turn back to spirituality and service. You know, actually helping each other is a priority, really, over trying to gain, you know, so war between Russia and China and America as to who's the first that can tap into alien technology and use it, no doubt, for the wrong purposes. I think they're extremely aware of that, the extraterrestrials, and so they're giving us so much and no more.
In the 60s, 70s, 80s, we really had some great alien contact stories and abductions. We don't seem to be getting them today. Why?
No, I mean, well, good, very good, if I may say, very good. I should expect very good questions from you, George. I think it's interesting. I think we haven't done justice. I suppose I would say this, so you can accuse me of bias, but we haven't done justice to the contacts we've already had. And I'm not only talking about Dr. George King, although obviously he would be my first go-to place. There's another thing, though. I think a lot of the contacts that have taken place weren't genuine. By that, I don't mean they were necessarily lying, but when you move into the area of mediumship and dream experiences, the whole, as it were, paranormal field, you have to be highly trained, highly disciplined to discriminate carefully. I mean, I don't believe in a lot of mediums' claims. And you have mediums. I remember, you know, although she wasn't in the UFO field, but Doreen Virtue was a massive figure going back 20 years in channeling and is now a born-again Christian, I believe, which shows really that she was frankly making it up. I thought that anyway. I mean, she might have believed it at the time. I don't know. But there's a lot can go wrong. And this is where, you know, without wanting to harp on it, where again, Dr. George King spelt out exactly how he went about getting these contacts, the 10 years of prior training that he needed to do in advanced yoga disciplines for 8 hours a day. This is extremely unusual. It has happened, particularly in the East, But it's very unusual. You can't just go for a weekend seminar and walk out channeling somebody from the Pleiades. Sorry, I know that may upset some people. But it you know, it's quite dangerous to think you're doing that. You've got to know what you're doing. So it's not all bad, I think, that some of these contacts and claims aren't so prevalent, because some of them weren't true.
Did you help write the book, The King Who Came to Earth?
I did, yes. I was the main writer of that book, together with Brian Kniep, who's the secretary in the American headquarters.
It's a great title, by the way.
That was my title, George. And I think it's true, and again, it's quite a controversial book. To a lot of people, even in this field, it'd be very far out. I don't really expect anyone to believe everything that I say. In fact, I wouldn't expect it at all. I mean, check it out. But I do believe my own conclusion, even though he never stated this publicly or pushed it himself, is that Dr. King is one of those who came from another world, because it's so unusual what he did. I mean, I think even his critics, even people who don't believe he's genuine at all, would have to hand to him, and do hand to him if they've looked into him, that he lived it for 43 years, nonstop, every day. He was on call. I saw him. I knew him very, very well. I was at close quarters with him. I was in touch with him every day for about 20 years, last 20 years of his life, and others too. And so, you know, he really is a standout person. He's not like some of the other people who've claimed contacts periodically and then gone off and done something else, then come back to it a bit. He was at it all the time, every day, for that long period. And that's after a 10-year training period in advanced yoga disciplines, which is the only reason, really. You know, he's a reliable contactee because of his yoga training.
And he said that he would get the massive amounts of cosmic masters communicating with him, right?
Yes, he got quite a number. The most common communicators, or regular communicators, was one called Aetherius, which literally... See, there again, the name Aetherius, which isn't the real name of the intelligence. It's a pseudonym that he was given. But it again immediately suggests something etheric, something beyond the physical. And this is back in 1955 when the society started. I found one organization actually in America, which I can't recall exactly where it is, a sort of flying saucer society that's actually older than us. But they're not a contact organ. I don't think there's any organization older than us that I've found with a sort of constant legacy and has continued right up to this day.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.